Your Giants.com multimedia program will begin shortly.
It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown, Giants, 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. A little warm, I know. But at least the sun was out, no rain, which is always a good thing. Get outside. I threw on the football yesterday with the nephews. And, of course, the clock is ticking to the start of minicamp, which is just now 8 days away. We're less than 2 months away from the start of training camp here at the Timex Performance Center at the end of July. And we are a little more than 3 months away from the start of the NFL regular season. This offseason has flown by like they tend to do, and we're getting back to work. Now, you can give us a call at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Anything you want to say about the Giants, but the question we put out there today to talk a little bit about is what the Giants are going to do with their return game on special teams. Now, the biggest factor here is that obviously David Wilson is a dynamic kick returner. He showed that last year. One of the best and most explosive guys in the NFL. Can make a big play on any return. Fantastic. Almost single-handedly helped the Giants beat the New Orleans Saints. He was a beast. Here's the problem. This year, the Giants are going to lean on David Wilson to be their primary running back. More than likely. So, with David Wilson getting his 15 to 20 carries a game, how much and if are the Giants going to use him as their kick returner? Now, considering David Wilson is never going to be your 20-25 carry a game back anyway, I would still put him in effect as your primary kick returner, but probably not returning more than, say, 50% of all kickoffs. And you pick your spots. In some of the most important games, in games that are close, second halves of games that are close, and maybe you're struggling offensively, and you need a big play to spark you, you slide David Wilson in there. But you got to be careful, because you don't want to overuse him, and obviously kickoffs are a place where guys can be susceptible to injury. But he's so good at it, I would not cut him out of the mix completely. I think it hurts the team. The goal here is to win football games. And obviously, there is some injury risk. I know Giant fans still wake up in cold sweats because Jason Sehorn tore up his knee 15 years ago in a preseason game. I get you're scared about that. That being said, I'm telling you, you can't take David Wilson out of the role completely. He's got to be there. So, now the question is, if David Wilson's going to take, say, 50% of the kickoff returns, and I'll use that as a very basic figure, two or three a game, who is going to step in there and supplement him back there? Is it going to be a wide receiver like Jarrell Jernigan? Will it be a guy like Jayron Hosley? Will it be maybe somebody you haven't even thought of yet? Maybe one of these undrafted rookie free agents might be a guy that goes back and returns kicks for you. So I think that'll be an interesting competition to watch in training camp. Who is going to be that second, and heck, maybe even third guy that can be back there with David Wilson to return kicks? And then you go to the punt return game. What are the Giants going to do there? No more Dominic Hixon. Mr. Reliable's gone. They haven't had a dynamic returner on punts in quite a while. Does Gerald Jernigan catch the ball a little bit better in preseason games? Because what he does in training camp is not going to matter. Jernigan has to prove in a game when guys are running at him trying to kill him that he's willing and able to catch the ball. Are they going to try Reuben Randle back there again? A guy that's shown he can catch it, but he doesn't have that classic punt returner body or explosiveness. He's more the long strider, doesn't have extremely quick moves, fast, but to me not the traditional punt returner. Or does Jaron Hosley get a shot back there? The Giants have a little bit more depth at cornerback. Maybe you can use him back there as your punt returner. He did that in college, and he did that a little bit in the preseason last year. So who do you want to see the Giants use in their return game? And, of course, anything else, New York Giants as well. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. Let's go to our phones and say what's up to Jason in New York City. Jason, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, no problem. Good morning.
Good morning. Just quick question. Knicks and Cruz. Now, if I was a GM, well, it's not really a question, but I would take do you think they'll both be back, number one?
Both, in my opinion, will be playing football for the New York Football Giants this season.
Okay, now which one is more priority, signing Knicks, or Cruz?
Well, Knicks is on the contract, so there's really no pressure in trying to re-sign or give Akeem Nixon an extension. And there's no indication that the reason he's not here is because of his contract. So, to me, there's absolutely no pressure on the Giants to do anything with Akeem Nix's contract, especially considering he's coming off an injury-plagued year. So clearly, Victor Cruz would be the priority at this point.
Now, what does I don't know what Victor Cruz is asking for, but when I look at Victor Cruz from last year, all I could think of critical drop passes he had.
He had some drops.
And when Nix was out, the offense was nothing. So, Nix is the more important receiver than Cruz. I think we could be without Cruz and still be successful. Because when he was out, Nix, Cruz didn't do anything. The offense didn't do anything. So, you understand what I'm trying to say?
I do understand what you're saying, but to say the Giants' offense did nothing last year without Akeem Nix, I think is a little bit of a stretch. And I want to bring up the numbers here just so we can go through them. I can find the NFL stats page here for a second. But, the offense wasn't the same without Akeem Nix. That much is obvious. It wasn't the same. That being said, if we take a look at let's take a look at Victor Cruz as an individual without Akeem Nix. To say he did nothing is not fair. Victor Cruz, even with Akeem Nix injured last year, was the 15th highest gaining wide receiver. He caught 86 passes for about 1,100 yards and still had, 10 touchdowns. So that is still a Pro Bowl caliber season. As for the Giants offense itself, I can go with the overall here. I'll stick with the passing offense first. The Giants, in terms of passing offense, were 12th in the league, still averaged 239 yards per game. In terms of overall offense, I can tell you, they were ranked in terms of yards per game. The Giants were ranked 14th middle of the league. And points per game, I think they were probably around the same. So to say the Giants were terrible offensively isn't fair, but were they the same without Akeem Nix? No. But with Cruz, were they still average or a little above average? I think the answer is yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for my call.
Hey, no problem, Jason. Thanks for calling in. And look, you can make the argument that Akeem Nix is a more important wide receiver to the Giants than Cruz. In Kevin Gilbride's offense, that position, the X position, that Burris used to play and now Nix plays, is traditionally the focus of the offense. So in that way, Jason, you're right. But to say the offense didn't do anything and Victor Cruz did nothing without Akeem Nix, I think you're stepping a little too far in that direction. Are both guys important? Yes. Do I think both guys will play here next year? Yes. And gun to my head, do I think both guys will be here playing in 2014? Close. Today, the way this has gone so far, I mean, it seems to be getting ugly already. But I think it's possible. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I'm not positive. But if I had to say yes or no, I think the Giants figure out a way to keep both. That's assuming Nix or Cruz don't have a real down year. Injuries, whatever. That's assuming Reuben Randle doesn't have a big enough year that the Giants feel confident that he can step in and replace it at Akeem Nicks. So take all that in consideration. And by the way, I see Shakes and Len online. We'll get to you guys in a second. You know what Victor Cruz shouldn't be doing while he's not here without a contract? You know what he shouldn't be going out and telling a newspaper? That he wants his own reality TV show focused around him. And he has to shoot it in a way that he has to, quote-unquote, squeeze in some training before the season starts. Victor, that's not helping your cause. Ralph Acciano, Daily News this morning. Probably not what you want your fans to hear you say. Ugh. It's not good. That's all I'll say. Go to dailynews.com. It's there, folks. Also, Ralph Acciano's Twitter feed. He actually linked to it not so long ago. This is not the time for reality shows, dude. Please. The best way, he said, you know, we watched Chris Humphreys' reality show. We don't want that to happen, though. So, you know, I would hope not. Though he did get some good Foot Locker commercials out of it. Those Chris Humphreys Foot Locker commercials are funny. Very good. 201-939-4513. Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes, what's up, pal?
What's going on?
What's up, bud?
Okay, you just had me laughing with the Cruz situation because I knew that you were going to say something about it. I seen it this morning.
It's funny.
But listen, I mean, whatever he do on his off time, whatever, do that and make your money. That's fine. But bring your butt to work. Just bring your butt to work. Now, you don't have a contract. Fine. But you want to play. You want to have your endorsements. You want to have this reality TV show. You want to do all of this. Well, do the fans right and just take the money. It's not like they throwing you pennies. They're not throwing you peanuts. They're going to make you very rich. Take the money. You're going to be rich anyway, off field, anyway with this TV deal that you're trying to do. So, come on, man. I mean, enough is enough with that, man. You got to learn from the Steve Smith situation that you just got to take the money when it's on the table. Or something bad could happen. I hope not. But just take the money and come on, man.
Hey, Nate, look. Victor can do whatever he wants to do off the field. If he wants to have a reality TV show, go ahead and do it. I have no problem with that. The problem is the timing. And it's the same way, you know, Hakeem Nicks, if he doesn't want to show up to an OTA because it's optional, that's fine. By the rules, by option, it's optional. He doesn't have to show up. But it's the way you handle these things. You know, just tell them you're not going to show up. And in the middle of your contract holdout, when Giant fans are freaking out you haven't signed yet, don't come out and talk about, and by the way, it wasn't Ralph Acciano, it was a different Daily News, actually an entertainment reporter, James Desborough, that had the story. And again, you go to dailynews.com, click on entertainment. It's not even in the sports section, it's in the entertainment section. What fans don't want to hear you talking about when you're trying to, you know, work out a contract and they're wondering if you're going to, you know, be playing football for the Giants, if you're going to hold out, they don't want to hear about you worrying about a reality TV show and having to, and again, and this is the quote that I thought was funny. Where is it here? Let me see. I'm trying to find it. All right, here we go. We are still fielding some requests, so we'll see how it goes. The timing has to be right, and I have got to squeeze in some training before the season starts. When you have a quote like that, it sounds like you're more concerned about the show than you are about the training. I'm sure that's not the truth. I'm sure that's not what he meant, but you got to watch what you say because it sounds bad.
Yeah. I mean, he's still young. He's learning. I got a couple questions, man.
Yeah, what do you got?
First of all, it's just a little minor question because I was wondering, because I know that Coughlin was there on the 90 team because that's when I started watching football and became a Giant fan, but I don't know about the 86 Super Bowl team, so can you tell me if he was a part of that team?
Yes, Tom Coughlin. I will double check this, but I'm pretty sure I have it right. Tom Coughlin was the wide receivers coach for the 86 Super Bowl team. And what happened, I believe after about week 13 or 14, during the 1990 season, Coach Coughlin actually took the head coaching job at Boston College. So he actually wasn't an official, if I remember right, he wasn't an official member of the Giants coaching staff for the Super Bowl. Actually, I take that back. Let me rephrase that. He was not on the 86th coaching staff. That year he coached for the Green Bay Packers, excuse me. During the 1990 regular season, he was on the Giants coaching staff as their wide receivers coach. But at the very end of that year, he took the Boston College job. So while he was still, I believe he was at the Super Bowl, I believe they actually had someone else as his official replacement in place at that point because he had already taken the Boston College job. But he was actually a coach, believe it or not, for the Green Bay Packers as their wide receivers coach in 1986.
So three out of four Super Bowls he got. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I have a couple more questions and I'm gone.
Yeah, go ahead.
The OTA standouts. I know it's just OTAs. You always tell me that.
Yep.
But you know I'm kind of, you know, big on this guy Charles James. So I just wanted to, you know, have you watched him? Did you look at him since I said something? Did you look at his feet? Like, does he got good movement?
Yeah, you know what, Charles James isn't the biggest guy in the world. He's only about, I would say about, you know, 5'10", 5'11". But he moves around well. You know, he was a good player at a smaller school. So he's a guy I think you keep an eye on. And it's funny, Charles actually came out and we actually were out shooting at Justin Tuck's football camp on Saturday morning. And Charles was one of the kids that came out. And what a nice guy. He is one of the nice, he's really outgoing, he's smart. He was having a good time with the kids. So after you mentioned him last week, and then I saw him, you know, interacting a little bit, shakes with the kids at Tuck's camp on Saturday morning. I am now rooting for him, and I hope he does well enough in training camp to make this team.
I'm rooting for him too. I like the kid. Last question.
Yeah.
Now I'm not trying to poo-poo on Times. I'm not. Okay. I appreciate the two Super Bowls that he helped us win. Now, being that said, since he's been on the team, I always complain that he cannot kick a darn kick over 50 yards. When we get a 50-yarder, we have to go for it. We have to go for 4th-and-1 or 4th-and-2, whatever, or punt the ball because he can't kick past 50 yards. So is this new kicker, can he kick past 50?
Well, that ostensibly is the reason the Giants decide to make a move. Both David Buehler and Josh Brown are known to have big legs. And I think that's the reason the Giants made the move that they did, because those guys will be better outside of 50 yards.
Okay, good, because I'm tired of that. I mean, I'm really tired. I'm like, God, please. Like, okay, thanks, Tons. All right, you was accurate in the 40 and above range, but when you get past 47, 48, it's over. It's over. So, yeah, thanks for taking my call, and I'll call tomorrow.
Thanks, Shakes. Appreciate it, man.
All right.
Take it easy. And it's funny he brings that up. And I get it. You want to kick, you know, the 50s. I understand that. But you're going to miss the guy that's automatic between 35 and 45. I know Giant fans have had some good kickers here, but if you go around the league, there are some bad kickers out there. And you got these teams. I mean, look at the 49ers last year with David Akers. You might as well close your eyes and roll the dice when he was kicking it from any distance. He was terrible. They had to cut him in the playoffs, for goodness sakes. He was so bad. So I understand Times, maybe he doesn't have the biggest leg, but he was so consistent. He helped to win so many games. So just be careful. 201-939-4513. We want to go down to Russell in Fort Knox. Russell, what's going on, pal?
What's going on? Long time here for you, man.
What's going on, Russ? How are you, pal?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing this military thing. I got two questions. Me and my homeboy was talking about this yesterday. Akeem Nicks, I do not get this guy. You know, like in the military, you got to report the duty.
Yeah.
You got to at least communicate with your coach. I mean, seriously, you get millions and millions of dollars. Okay, if you want a new contract, your leg hurt. We got, like, in the Army, we got sick hole. I mean, tell Tom Coughlin, I'm hurt. I can't make it. That's all he had to do. But this right here, I don't. What he does, he want to win a Super Bowl, or he just want to play little kid games? He needs to report to Tom Coughlin, explain himself why he didn't show up for work, and move on. And when I just seen Victor Cruz too, reality show, what's going on with the wide receivers, man? I'm lost now. They don't want it no more.
Hey, look, Russ, I'm with you on Nixon again. If he doesn't want to go to OTAs, it's an optional thing. That's cool. If you don't want to show up, that's his right under the CBA. He doesn't have to do it. But first of all, apparently last week he told Coach he was going to be there, and then he didn't show up. So that's about as bad as you get. And it doesn't make any sense. Does he have to tell them why? No. But it's one of those things that's expected. All his other teammates do it. And really, if you just – and basically it amounts to just blowing it off. What message did it send to your teammates who all go out of their way to attend these optional workouts? Or in Justin Tuck's case last week, he had his charity event. He didn't make an OTA. He said, Coach, look, I got the charity event. I'm not going to be able to make it. Okay? Coach is like, fine, no problem. As I joked around last Friday, all he has to do is gonna get on his cell phone and send two texts. Hey, guys, not going to make it. I have personal stuff going on. That's it. And this whole controversy would be gone. Does he have to do that by rule? No. But would it save him a lot of, A, hardship, B, help his reputation? Certainly. So the fact that he hasn't done it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I wonder, does he know that Ruben Randall is coming up? I watched Ruben Randall play for LSU. He's pretty good. So he better wake up and say to himself, do you want to play with one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, or do you want to play with another quarterback that probably will never win a Super Bowl? He has to really think about this. Like I said, it's out of respect to Tom Coughlin. It's a two-time Super Bowl winning head coach. Show respect, man. I mean, just make one phone call. Yo, I can't make it. That's it.
I'm with you, Russ. I'm with you. Thanks for the call, bud.
All right.
You have a good one, man. Thank you for your service, too, by the way. Appreciate it. You guys doing a great job out there keeping us safe. Thank you. 201-939-4513. And that's the thing. Just send a text. Pick up the phone. That's all we need. Good call, Russ. We appreciate it. Good to hear from you guys in the armed services, as always. And again, thank you for your service. We're a week late. Memorial Day was last week, obviously. When we honor those who fell in service to our country, obviously, for the people that are serving us now, we thank you for your service and putting your life on the line for us as well. Let's go to Len down in Maryland. Len, good morning. How are you, pal?
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How was your weekend, buddy?
Good. Yeah, real good, real good. And we're 1 week from the last time you and I talked. We're 1 week closer to opening night.
That's good.
That's a good thing.
Yep.
That's a good thing. Listen, on your question about kick returners, and then I'd like to say something about the Cruz situation. I think Randall, Hosley, Aaron Ross are probably the guys who are going to vie for punt returns, and probably Jernigan, and we're going to have to get Wilson back there. I mean, he's just too dangerous. Now, maybe not on every kickoff, and let's hope that there aren't too many kickoff returns. If the defense plays the way we think they can play, we're not going to be fielding too many kicks. But I think Wilson has got to play in some shape, manner, or form back there. He's just too dangerous, Sean. Now, on the Victor Cruz situation, I know you didn't agree with me when I talked about Martellus Bennett. I made a comment back in February. once these guys start thinking about the next career, Martellus liked it in New York for the opportunities that it was going to provide. His wife liked it here. You know, John, sometimes you have to say goodbye to these players. If Victor wants to do a reality show, let him do it from Kansas City. I mean, once they start thinking about other things, I know he's got a long work life in front of him, 30, 35, 40 years in front of him to make money. And only a part of that is going to be the football part. But that's the part we're talking about now, Victor. Get back here and play football. Once we start talking about that other mumbo-jumbo stuff, John, you have to think about getting rid of the guy.
Well, Len, here's the thing.
I hate to say that about Victor.
Right.
So I love Victor, but, you know, come on.
Well, and here's
this
the thing,
is what
too, Len.
You do now.
Just from his perspective, and I'm sure, at least I hope he's has enough self-awareness to realize this, but guess what? If he's in Kansas City, he ain't getting a reality series.
Of course not. Yeah, of course not. But you know, hey, once he starts saying, you know, I got to get in, but I got to remember to get in a little practice time. I got to work out a little bit. Hey, come on. This is your job now.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do your job to 100% of your ability, let's think about going somewhere else, Victor.
It sounds bad.
No, I mean, come on. I don't want to hear this. Let me ask you a question about one more question about Victor.
Sure.
And some of the other guys too. Next week's OTAs are mandatory.
Minicamp is mandatory. That is correct.
Victor is not on the contract, so he's not required to come.
Yeah,
you talk about it being mandatory. I
believe that is correct, yes.
Does that hold true for the number one pick, Justin Pugh, or for the quarterback pick, Nassib? I know they signed an injury waiver to participate in these OTAs, but are they required to come next week, John? Are they under some sort of contract that they're required to be there too?
You know, that's a good question. Well, I should say, first of all, that they are going to be there, and any draft pick that would, not show up to that is really not trying to get any playing time this year, for one. So those guys are going to be there, so I guess it's more of a theoretical question. And I guess if the rookies aren't under contract, if they haven't signed their rookie deal yet, if they don't have to sign the waiver, they don't have to be there. I mean, the team can't fine them anything because they're not paying them anything, you know?
Right. Well, I know that's true for training camp.
Right.
That if they're not on the contract, they don't have to be there. But in Victor's case, he's not required to be there next week because he's not on the contract.
Yeah, if he had signed the tender, he would have to be there. But since he hasn't, he does not. That is correct.
Right. Right. Okay. Now, what I'm I did this with you last week. Just a couple of things as a fan that I'm looking for this week, what I'd like to find out of OTAs this week. One, who's there? And of the guys who are there, who's not working? And, how come? What kind of injuries are we dealing with? I'd like some information, and, I'm probably going to get this out of the newspaper. I'd like some information about how the Giants are using Justin Pugh. Where is he, where is he fitting in? What kind of progress is he making from OTA to OTA? And also, if anybody kind of starts to get a feel for any changes in defensive philosophy, are we nailing Tuck down to one position, JPP down to one position, or are we going to move these guys around? How much three safety? What are we doing in practice at these OTAs with regard to the safeties?
Well,
just as your average fan, those are the kinds of things I'd like to get out of an OTA, John.
Yeah. Look, we've seen the three safety stuff, but I think we've seen a lot of more traditional stuff too with Hosley playing the slot. Pugh's been with the second team at right tackle. You really can't tell how good he's doing. There's no contact, but he seems to have the athleticism for the position. As for JPP and Tuck, I think with OC's departure, those two guys are pretty locked in at those end positions. Obviously, they're not going to play every play, but when they're on the field, JPP, in my opinion, will always almost be at right end, and Tuck, besides the plays he moves into tackle, will usually be at left end. And, I want one other thing, Len. Our buddy Mike Farmer on Twitter had a good point. He goes, he can't believe that what forced you off the Victor Cruz bandwagon was a reality TV show, since you love the Stars so much. He makes a good point.
That's good. I tell you what. Hey, that's pretty cool.
Thanks for the call, Len.
I didn't mean to sound so irrational when it comes to Victor, but, there comes a point when you have to say to these guys, hey, this is your profession right now. Come on, man. Get in there. Let's do something here.
All right, Len, we'll talk to you later in the week.
Hey, thank you, John.
You're very welcome. Anytime, Len. Talk
Bye-bye.
To you later.
Bye.
That was a good – I had to give Mike Farmer that. That was good. Mike and I, we yelled and screamed at each other about Cruz last week. Got a little testy. Looks like in the weekend everybody's cooled down a little bit. Gerson's out in California. He's up early this morning. Gerson, good morning.
Up early every morning listening to the show.
What's up, pal? How are you?
Good. I want to talk about Wilson as a returner. I would not want to see anybody else but someone that's used to taking hits as opposed to Hosley that is used to taking hits out. I would think that they'll be more prone to injury than it is a running back that's used to contact.
Yeah.
So that's my point. I would prefer to see nobody else that is not able to take hits. So I'm more comfortable with Wilson. I would not want to lose a corner. You know, running back, I don't think he'll get injured, but at the same time, he's used to the hits as opposed to someone who's not.
I think that's fair, but I just don't think you could run him out there for every kick because I think it might take something away from him being your primary running back. You know what I mean?
Correct. But as long as whoever takes the return, it's used to getting hit. That's my point.
Well, you know what? And if that's the case, I think the guy you would like to slip in there would probably be Jernigan. He's a wide receiver. You know, if Victor Cruz and Nix are both there, he's not going to take a lot of snaps as a wideout. If he shows he can catch the ball, to me, he's probably the ideal guy. Because I agree, I think Hosley is probably too valuable as your slot corner. You'd rather use a guy like Jernigan. You know what I mean?
Yep. My next thing is with Victor Cruz. I saw the same news early this morning around 5 when I woke up. And I was not happy about it. First thing I thought was Ocho. But, of course, apples to oranges. But I'm just – that's the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, no, didn't do it. But at the same time, I think it's all about timing. If he would have done this, of course, when the contract had been signed and all that, would have been easier to take in.
Exactly.
As opposed to during this, you know, time. I think it's just timing, bad timing.
No, I do. I'm looking with you. If Cruz signed the extension yesterday, this article came out today, nobody would have cared. But it doesn't look good when you're not on the contract and you're not at the off-season program and you seem to be more worried about your reality show than you are about working out. That's an issue.
Gotcha.
I appreciate it, Gerson.
Well, thanks, man.
Thanks, man. And by the way, at Jeffy G-Man made me laugh with a good suggestion for the Giants kick returner. Maybe Ramsey's Barden can return kickoffs. With that height, he could be spectacular. You can't teach height. Oh, boy. That's a good one. He made me laugh. Very funny. By the way, here's another funny story, just to continue by Ramsey's Barden saga. It still amazes me how many fans are obsessed with this guy. I mentioned we were at Justin Tuck's football camp. He does a great job. It was up in Engletown. Engletown, I think that's the name of the town, right? Engletown? Englecliff? What is it? Engletown, right? I think that's what it is. Am I right about that? And whatever. North Jersey, right off the GW Bridge. How about that? Englewood. That's what it is. Englewood. Ah. See, I'm a Brooklyn guy. I'm not a Jersey guy. What can I tell you? Anyway, we're up in Englewood at Tuck's football camp on Saturday morning, and they do a Q&A session with the kids. So you get some, you get some kids. Oh, what team do you want to, you're most looking forward to beating this year? Who are you going to face in the Super Bowl? Questions that kids will give you. This one kid gets up, takes the mic, looks at Justin Tuck and goes, "Why didn't the Giants bring back Ramsey's Barden this year?" And then Tuck's like, "Well, we actually just re-signed him." And you should have seen how excited the kid was. He was fired up. I mean, Tuck's getting questions from the kid at his football camp about him. It's amazing. And again, he's a good guy. I like him. But the obsession that some fans have with him is just funny. I'm in the radio booth during the games, producing the games and help broadcast them too, doing, sports updates and all that sort of stuff. Maybe Dan can answer this. Are there a lot of Barden jerseys in the stands? Do you see a lot of Ramsey's jerseys? No? Not really? Eh. Final call of the show at 201-939-4513. Our buddy Steve's down in D.C. Steve-O, what's up, pal?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Listen, I'm sorry. I'm just catching the tail end of the conversation today. But I thought I heard Len say something about Victor Cruz, like, is speculating about doing a reality show.
Yeah, there was an article in the Daily News this morning from, actually not even from Val Vacchiano, from their entertainment reporter, James Desborough, that he's fielding offers for a reality show, and and he wants to get something going in New York. He talks about the type of show that he wants. Being most specific, he does not want to look like Chris Humphries did in the Kim Kardashian reality show, which obviously is understandable. And the one quote that I think bothered some people is, this is the quote from Victor: "We are still fielding some requests, so we'll see how it goes. The timing has to be right." And this is the line that's the kicker.
Timing.
And
timing being right.
Now here we go. No, it gets better. "And I have to squeeze in some training in there before the season starts."
Oh, wow.
That's
okay.
That's what you don't like to hear.
No, I don't like any of it. I think our feelings basically the same way Len does. That's very disappointing. I'm gonna leave that. I don't even want to address that because to me that's not even worth mentioning. But I'll tell you what is bothering me this morning, because the more first of all, I love Victor Cruz. I love Hakeem. Hakeem happens to be one of my favorite players, but this whole thing about him, not calling, not doing anything, what makes it so bad to me is the fact that, obviously we're dealing with the Victor Cruz contract issues, and this is the time where we need our leaders to step up and be leaders. I can't even tell you how disappointing it is, knowing that, obviously, I wouldn't say the Giants are vulnerable, but just that we have enough going on for him to not show up and not call at a time like this, knowing we're answering Victor Cruz questions, and we really need him to step up and show that he's a team guy. It really irks me pretty bad. Especially considering I'm one of those people saying that, we need to, make him our focus as far as, making sure he gets the most amount of money. I'm really not sure what message he's trying to put out by not showing and not calling. But to me, that's just not good business. And, as a fan, I'm extremely disappointed, extremely.
I hear you, Steve.
I wish I had something smart to say this morning, but I'm telling you, that just really irks me, I hope Ruben Randle does step up, not out of spite of, Hakeem not coming, for the team's sake, but I think, that's bad karma, and, I think somehow he's going to end up paying for that, at least the team is, because we need him there. We need him.
I appreciate the call, Steve. There. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Good. Hey, I'm not sure how much Nick would even be doing if he was here, to be honest with you. He's still banged up, still getting over that knee injury, which should be concerning enough as it is, considering he's 6 months off the season. He's still trying to get over this knee injury, for one. And, how much is he going to do? I don't know. Rehabbing, running, maybe doing some individual stuff, probably not running routes on the field. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. We haven't seen him in one, so I'm not sure what he'd be able to do. But, and again, I can't stress this enough. This is optional. Nick does not have to be there, so it's his choice. And he doesn't even have to give a reason. Also his choice. He's not breaking any rules. The Giants can't fine him for this. He's following the letter of the law in the CBA to a T. However, perception is reality. And the perception that's out there, because Nick doesn't show up to these things, is that he cares about something else more than the team. Especially when you don't give a reason and you don't notify the Giants and the coach that you're going to miss. And the perception is that you're blowing off the team and it's not that important to you. Correct or not, that becomes the perception. And I don't think that's the case. I think he literally had probably something going on in his life on the personal side that he's taking care of. Why he just doesn't say that, I have no idea. But this type of PR stuff, and this is bad PR for Knicks, who, frankly, was, I think, looking very good to Giant fans, considering Cruz hasn't been here and he's been holding out. So Giant fans, more and more, in my opinion, as this offseason has gone along, have been like, you know what? The heck with Cruz. He wants to hold out. That's fine. Let's worry about Nick. Sign him long term. He's our guy. Now Keem doesn't show up. So now fans are annoyed at him. Now, three people today. Ruben Randle's got to step up. So, look. And the Giants don't make decisions based on popular opinion. I get that. But perception's reality. And if the Giants sense that their fan base is sick of one of these two wide receivers, maybe they might be more willing to let one of the two go this offseason. So, not helping himself. That's my only point. Might his decision not to show up not affect his performance on the field this year, one iota? Yes. There's a chance this isn't going to affect him negatively at all. It's June. I mean, season starts 3 months. But again, it looks bad. Perception's reality, and he's not helping himself. Just pick up a phone. 201-939-4513. Christian in Virginia. Christian, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Doing all right, Christian. What's up, Pat?
I definitely agree with these are just OTAs. You go out there, you ball out, against Dallas week one, everything's forgiven as far as the receivers not being there.
Yep.
I just think that it just goes, the bigger issue is it shows how hard it is to have sustained success in the league and how hard it is for a guy like Reese to do his job without emotion tied to it, because he's done a great job separating emotion, he's kind of just a big bad wolf in the in the poker game he plays every year.
Next man up.
But over time, yeah, exactly. But over time, you can see, like, when Nix's agent comes out and says that it's not about money and it's about this and that, if you had a personal reason, I'm not stupid. Like, I'm pretty sure you would give it. I think it's directly related to the money. And I think that when you say it's not about the money, 99% of the time it is. And I think Nix's absence signifies a lot of how they're treating Victor Cruz and how we've heard how they treated OCU Mignora, about how Jerry Reese promised this and that, and then he didn't come through on that promise. And Victor Cruz, I mean, plays at an all-pro level the last 2 years for, you know, pennies on the dollar. Like, the performance, I mean, he deserves to get paid. Now, it's not Jerry Reese's job, and it's not the nature of the NFL to pay people for what they have done. We know that. It's
right.
Not baseball. You get paid for what you're about to do.
Correct.
But at the same time, who do you think that the players side with? The players aren't. The players don't side with Jerry Reese on that. And Hakeem Nix knows he's coming up too. So, I mean, I think it's a very tough and frustrating thing for the fans to understand. But I think Jerry Reese has to do this. And you can't really blame. It's hard to pick a side there. We would all love for Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nix to just go in there, work hard, and, we'll let the contract situations play out by themselves. But at the same time, they do deserve to get paid, especially Cruz.
Look, Christian, you're right about that, 100% right. The issue that Victor has right now is that he's a restricted free agent. And next year, Hakeem Nix, when he's a free agent, he's going to be able to do whatever he wants. If he wants to get paid and leave, that's fine. He can do that. But Cruz is not in that situation this year because he's restricted. And he can't play
leverage.
He has no leverage. So that's why,
right.
I look. And the Giants still have a fairly generous contract on the table. Considering he's a restricted free agent, to offer him, 4 years, 30 to 32 with $15 million guaranteed.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
That is not a contract that you just wave off and laugh away. So I think considering the amount of leverage the Giants have, I think they've put a pretty darn fair contract on the table for him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely agree, especially considering he can't just walk. We kind of have him. But it's just tough when you're Reese and you're the front office, your approach to this situation changes drastically when the players that you're playing poker with now have rings on their fingers. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
Because, yeah, I mean, before, it's almost like you have to somewhat change your approach and even get even more cutthroat. Because I'm not calling out Victor Cruz or Hakeem Nix, but just naturally, if you think about, like, I have my Super Bowl ring. Like, that's what and it's a grind to get it. Like, you could justifiably see the nature in somebody saying, I've reached the mountaintop. Now I'm trying to get paid. Whether it's here or there or whatever city, I'm trying to get paid. I've got the Super Bowl. Now, you'd hate to think that our players think like that, but that's something that, like, we have to think about a future with only one of them possibly.
Oh, look, and it's fair. Honestly, if I'm Victor Cruz and I've made, a million total in my first years in the league, I'm looking to get paid too. Victor has every right to try to maximize his contract because who knows? When he's a free agent again in 4 years, he injures his knee, something else happens, who knows what he'll be able to get. So he has every right to get every penny he possibly can now. And this is business. It's not personal. Jerry Reese loves these two players.
Yeah.
He thinks they're great players. He thinks they're Super Bowl winning players. They've already proven that. But it's still a business. And in order to make the Giants team as good as it can be, he can't just give these guys what he wants because then, wait a second, maybe you can't pay Jason Pierre-Paul, and then all of a sudden you're in a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah, and then also, on top of that, too, once you set the precedent that, it's kind of like the prisoners running the asylum type thing.
Yeah, no question.
Like, you have to be the big bad warden, which Reese does it perfectly. He always has. I mean, he knows what his job is, and it's not loyalty to the players. It's loyalty to the franchise. But, I mean, as far as that, if you had to go forward, just your personal opinion, if you had to say right now we have to move on without one of them, who, between Nix and Cruz, who would you rather see us keep? and why?
You know, here's the trick. If you can tell me both guys in the next 3 years are going to start 48 games during the regular season and stay healthy, I think Akeem Nicks is probably the better player. The problem with that is that Akeem Nicks has never shown me, and it's gotten worse as he's gotten older, that he can stay healthy, and that scares the heck out of me. As look, you know, watching football every year, the team that a lot of times that wins a Super Bowl at the end of the year is the one that's healthiest. And if Akeem Nicks can't be relied on to stay healthy, I have trouble giving him a big money long-term contract. So quite frankly, I love the fact that if Victor Cruz plays under the one-year tender, that they can take another year, take a look at both guys, see if Nicks can stay healthy, and then you make a more educated decision. I would have no problem with that.
Oh, yeah, I think that's definitely the way to go. And I agree, like, Nicks' game, being that he's the one-on-one, he's on the weak side, you know, basically all the perimeter passing game on outside the numbers.
Yep.
Those are a lot harder to find than the slot guys. It's not saying that Victor Cruz is, you know, a dime a dozen player, but at the end of the day, they don't really make him like Akeem Nicks. I mean, that dude is the dude's super talented. But I think another part of what you just said too, it's a big, you know, if we wait another year and Cruz plays under the 1 year tender, Nicks plays out his contract, we also have another year of tape to see what Randall's about.
Yep.
And that can help us make our decision. And all then, right, thanks, man. I'll take enough of your time.
Hey, thanks, Christian.
I'll take it off the air. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, 100%. You can see what Randall does. And if Randall's good enough, then it makes it easier to let go of Nicks because they play the same position. And then, quite frankly, if you really want to keep both next year, you have the franchise tag. You can use that, too. So the Giants have a lot of options here. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Great job on the phone call this morning, everybody. People are getting ramped up a little, getting psyched. Got about 8-9 calls. Good work. Thanks for chiming in. Back with you tomorrow. Wednesday, I'm going to have to bring somebody in because we have a little field trip on Wednesday that we're going to, you know, enjoy. But great job. Thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. right here on Giants.com. Have a good one, everybody.